Your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. In case you didn't see that, Sue tried to tackle me while I was up here. Colossians chapter 3. She almost did it. And Colossians 3, beginning with verse number 1. I'll let you remain seated tonight. Break tradition, and some of you think that's terrible, but you can stand if you want, and I'll read it, and we'll look at it. All right, Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles. Have a little ring in this, Brand, if you could get that out. I'm not sure if it's me or the... Yeah, there you go. Colossians 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Heavenly Father, pray you'll bless tonight's message. Pray that you would illuminate our hearts and our understanding to the truth that you have here in this holy word that you've given to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A little boy was summoned his mother to the front yard to show her that he was the greatest hitter of all time. And so what happened was, just ignore that, she went out of the wrong door, that the next person he goes out gets electrocuted. No. But he said, "Mom, I'm the greatest hitter of all time, and I want you to see me hit." And so Mom ran outside to the front yard, and she wanted to see her son and hit the ball. And so he threw the ball up, and he swung as hard as he could, and the ball hit the ground. And he goes, "Strike one." And she just kind of watched to see what he would do. And he picked up that ball again. He threw it up in the air. He gave the best swing he could. And strike two, he missed. He said, "It's okay. I got one more strike." So he picked up the ball. And he threw it in the air. And man, he got really set. He was good to go. And he was going to hit the ball. And fell to the ground, and so did he. "Strike three," he said. Well, his mom felt real bad for him because, you know, he wanted to show her how great of a hitter he was. And she said, "Son, I'm really sorry that you struck yourself out." He said, "No," he said, "it's not a problem." He said, "I realize that not only am I the greatest hitter of all time, I'm the greatest pitcher of all times." And you know, that's a good perspective on baseball, isn't it? That's a good way to see it. I was thinking about that in regards to this, a cartoon I found. It says, "They don't keep you on a leash," the dog is saying to the cat, Because they want you to run away. Man, that's a kind of a unique perspective on things. I wonder what the cat wanted to say to the dog. We didn't get that part. I didn't see the next one. But have you ever thought about how life and seeing the perspective on life changes everything? Changes everything. Paul is writing to early believers in Jesus. And he's writing to them to tell them about how that life as a believer. And if you're not a believer or a Christian yet tonight, I just want you to know that this is kind of what God says, how that the Christian is to look at their Christian life. What is it that God wants us to see as a believer? How do we look at the life in which we live in this world? You see, Paul writes and he says this. He says it's very possible to be alive and still be in a grave. And what he means by that is it's possible that we're alive to the things of this world, but we're not alive unto Jesus. And he talks about being a follower of Jesus. By that, that means that we realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And because he did that, he took care of all of our sins. He paid for all of our sins. And by doing that, we can be alive unto God through Jesus Christ. One man has said this: life is what you are alive to. For example, I know some people that are very alive to sports. I mean, their life, it's all about sports. And they may be dead to everything else, but they're certainly very much alive to sports. And sports aren't bad in their place. Some people are alive to video games or Pokemon Go. Someone asked me about that. I didn't know what a Pikachu is, let alone anything about Pokemon. I remember we had Pokemon cards that we had when we had our Christian school, and we were collecting a whole bunch of them. We probably still have stacks back there stored somewhere. If you want any of those, that'd be a real prize for you. But some people are alive to those kind of things. There are some people that are alive, like teenagers, to dating or cars. But for a believer, we're to be alive unto Jesus Christ. Our perspective now has a whole different perspective in our world. The idea is we see things from God's perspective. In other words, if we're going to look at it, we're going to see it through God's eyes. How many hunters are there in the room tonight? How many hunt? How many hunters? Okay, we've got three of you. The rest of you better be thankful someone's hunting, okay? But if you're hunting a deer, you find out that deer, the best way to hunt a deer is you have to climb on and get all the way up in a good stand, like 20 or 30 feet. Now, for me, that takes everything I can do to climb up that stand. I don't like heights. My life verse is, lo, I'm with you always, okay? I do not like heights. But to climb up a tree stand and you get all the way up 30 feet, it's a whole different world when you're looking at a field. When you're flying in an airplane, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different level to look at the world and see a whole different perspective. Just like looking at a field through a tree stand, you can see anything moving. You can see snakes. You can see all kinds of game out there. And you can see the deer when he comes. And what God is saying is that every one of us as believers, we're to be alive unto Christ because of what Jesus has done in our life, and we take on a whole new life perspective. We see things not through our eyes or the eyes of this world, but we see them through the eyes of God. And that's what God is encouraging every one of us to do tonight as believers. That we're to see things through God's eyes. I was thinking of, as Kelsey was giving her testimony, telling about how that God has spoken to her about going to Hawaii. And while we joke around about that, there's a need in Hawaii for people to go there and teach and work with those people there. And help those young people to hear and understand and learn their subject matters. But she saw it through the eyes of God. What is it that God wants you to do? What is it that God would want me to do? How is it that God would want me to see things? That's what we're talking about tonight. And so we're going to look at tonight this perspective, because God gives us three perspectives. There are three perspectives in the passage I want you to notice with me very carefully, because they're very significant. Number one, he said we are to seek spiritual values. We are to seek spiritual values. The notes should be inside your service program when you came in tonight. If you want to take those out, you can kind of follow along with me on those. And what it means is this, that our life is not to be wrapped up in this world, but our life is to be centered and focused on spiritual things in our life. Because those things really do matter. Since we are believers, since we know Jesus, since He's come into our life and we've asked Him to be our personal Savior, that means we accepted Him into our life. Now our life is looked at in a whole different perspective. It's like we're citizens, if you would, of another country. It's like we're only here for a time. Because the Bible makes it very clear that heaven is for all eternity, and this life is just sort of preparatory for the next life. And God says that we are a part of a new country. We have a new citizenship, if you would. Now, you know, that does affect how we live, if you think about it. Let's suppose that tonight you were to pack up your family and move to another country. Pick whatever country you want. Move to another country. You would find when you got there that you would have a whole different perspective on how you live. You would use different kinds of currency, different kinds of money probably. You would handle your money differently. You might live in a different type of lodging. May not be a house. It may be a high-rise apartment. It could be something else totally different. Your transportation would be different. If you go to most parts of the world, public transportation is the way to get around. In other words, your whole perspective on life would change. And what God is saying is, as a believer, that if I'm going to walk in what God wants me to walk in and center my life in these things, I'm to recognize that everything for me is going to change. It's going to be different. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he talks about, look if you would please with me, at verse number one again of that same passage. He says, seek those things which are above. And then he says, verse two, set your affections on things above. Now, we're going to look at it a little bit reverse. Instead of looking at the what, we're going to look at how we're to seek, and then we'll look at the what. How are we to seek? The Bible said that if we are to seek these things, it means we're to focus our attention decisively upon those things that God tells us to seek. I mean, we have to make a decision. What is my life going to be about? What perspective am I going to have on these things? How am I going to look at things? That means I pay attention with the view that this life is very short. How many of you have found that life goes very rapidly? It seems like for me that every time I paid the DMV, my car registration, the next month they ask for another one. But actually it had been a year. Life seems to go very rapidly. We need to look at things through the eyes of what God says are heavenly things. One man said it this way, our feet must be on the earth and our minds must be in heaven. That means we concentrate our concerns on the eternal, not on the temporal. But the unfortunate part is so many people live so much for what they have here and they do nothing as far as focusing on what is waiting for them in eternity. Like, for example, if you were to really understand this, all we need to do is just walk through the Bible and look at some of the great men and women in the Bible and look at their life. For example, if you were to go and you were to ask and look at men like Noah. Noah, why did you spend 100 years building this huge ark? While everyone made fun of you and you did all those things, why did you do that? It's because he had a heavenly perspective. He listened to what God said, and God honored his faith. If you were to ask Abraham, why didn't you just go out and wander in the desert and you didn't know where you're going? You just went out, you're looking for something. Why were you wandering like that? Why were you doing all that? He said, because I wanted to find what God had for me. If you were to ask Joseph, what were you thinking when you lived in your family, then your family threw you out, and then they put you into slavery, and then later you went to jail? What were you living for? How were you dealing with that? And then you think of Moses, how he led 2 million complaining people out in the desert. Moses, why would you do something like that? And then you ask Ruth, why would she hide the 2 spies and how that she hid them and believe what they had to say about the Savior? Why would you do that, Ruth? Then you ask Job, why would you just keep serving God when everything you had was taken away from you? All of your children, all of your riches, and all of your farm and your livestock, everything. In fact, even your health was attacked. Why would you do that? And then you ask Paul, the Apostle Paul, that great New Testament missionary, Paul, why would you go and be beaten, put in jail, spent more time in jail than out of jail? Paul, why would you do those things? Why would you be shipwrecked and stoned? Why would you do all that? And every one of those men would tell you they had a heavenly perspective. They were not living for this life. They were not living for the pleasures of this life. They were not living for what they could get here, because what they got here was of no value compared to what they had in Jesus Christ in eternity. I'm going to tell you this tonight, that's a great perspective to have. Now, there's a lot of people that they will agree with that. Their perspective will be totally different. It's all about this life. It's all about what I can get here. It's all about the pleasure of this life. And God says, no, listen, the intensity of looking at what the Scripture says opens our understanding to say, wait a minute, I'm to set and understand that I'm to give it all 100% to Him. So we talk about the how, but secondly, I want to talk about the what. What are we to seek? What am I to seek? What am I to go after? What is it then in my life that I would say that I'm to seek after? Well, our life, the Bible says, is to be absorbed in Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 3 again with me. It says, if we're to seek those things above, we're to set our affections on things above. It says, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means my identity is absorbed into Jesus Christ. When did that happen? The moment I accepted Him as my personal Savior. He became my Lord. He became my Savior. And Jesus tells us that because life is passing away, and the things in this world are passing away, that Jesus says that eternity is where our focus should be, because those things will last for all eternity. That's where my mental energy should be. Jesus says it this way, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." We are warned that we're to put our affection on the things above, the eternity, those things that are treasures in heaven. You know, the treasures, I think of treasures, I think of it this way. The moment that a person dies, the Bible said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get to heaven and walk the streets of gold and see Jesus? How many agree with me? That'd be a treasure. Oh, that'd be a treasure. It'd be a treasure to just, when we get to heaven, to know that we have the peace, the joy, just to know that when we're there, it's not about us saying who is better than, because none of us are good. There's none righteous, the Bible says. Our goodness is in Jesus. And when we get there, we can say, man, we're forgiven. We have the fullness of Christ completely consummated in Him. And Paul's saying, that's what we're to seek after. That's what we're to be concerned about. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not to assume our responsibilities, as we heard this morning. We all have responsibility. We have job responsibility. We have family responsibility. And the things in this life that are temporal, we do have to take care of those things. That's not what Paul's saying. He's just simply saying, don't set our affections, if you would, set our desires, set all of our things on this life, but set it on the next life. That's what he says. And he warns us. He warns us about that, because a lot of times people get this confused. And Paul writes in Romans, for example, and here's what he says. He said, "Wherefore, my brethren," speaking to believers now, "ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by law, did work in our members," speaking of our body, "to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." In other words, Jesus delivered us from our sin. Thank God he forgave us and he delivered us through his power. So what are we to seek? We're to seek Jesus. We're to focus our attention on this divine, resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God the Father, the Bible says. You see, when I think of a baby, and I think of a baby that, think of Jordana's having a new baby, and we've had some babies here recently in our church. When I think of those babies, I can't help but look at the potential of their life and think, wonder how soon they will be to where they can understand the scriptures and know that Jesus loves them and that they will become a believer, a child of God, just like us. I can't help but think of the teenager. When I see the teenager who walks through the streets of our city, or in the parks, or going to school in a couple of weeks, when I look at those teenagers, I can't help but think of their need of a Savior and their future life to live for Jesus Christ. When I see an adult standing in the store and maybe they're bending over to pick up something, I can't help but just wonder as I talk with them, and sometimes I'll try to help them. As I talk to them, I can't help but wonder, do they know Jesus that I know? Sometimes I'll see people who are in the hospital, and I just had a call, literally before I came here, had a call from North Bay about a family who has a family member that is dying and they need a pastor to come and pray with them. Literally, they called me, North Bay did. And they asked me if I could come, and I told them I couldn't because I had to. We had our service tonight, and they asked to come because here's the family. They're wanting someone to come and pray. And I was thinking about how that I look at those families and I see their need, and I reach out to them and I want to help them because, but my concern is from a heavenly perspective, do they know Jesus? I think when I drive past a graveyard, how many people in that graveyard who died that never knew Jesus. You see, the bottom line is this: we're all facing a date with eternity. And when we think of that, God is reminding us that what are you laying treasures upon? What are you building your life upon? What are you putting your treasures in? What are you focusing your life on? What is it really that is so important? What is more important than eternity? So the perspective, he says, is seek, if you would, spiritual things. Let me give you the second one. This one will go much more rapidly. But he says in here, notice he says, we're to put off our old life. We're to put off our old life. Now, the old life is called the old man here in the scriptures. The old life means that that's the way I used to be. In fact, he says in there, he uses the word that you were. In other words, that's not what I am, that's what I used to be. I used to be this way, and God says that now that I am a child of God, I'm to put off those old things in my life. Those old things that dictated my life, that dictated my decisions, that guided me. And in my mind and my heart, because my heart was living for that, I was allowing that to govern how I looked at things in life. You know, all of us want to be positive. You know, sometimes people say, man, I want the message to be positive. But can I be honest with you? You cannot talk about growing a garden without talking about pulling the weeds. You cannot talk about getting healthy and losing weight without talking about the things that are hindering the health in your life. There are times when we have to push back from the sweets and the other things that we know that could hurt us. And here's what Paul is saying. He says, look, he says, your perspective on life is you're seeking spiritual things, but alongside that, you have to put off the old life. You have to put away those things in your life, those things that hinder you, those things that you live for, that's not what you live for anymore. In fact, the truth of the matter is, we live for one thing, and that is to honor God with our life. How does that work? Well, Paul talks about spiritual health and the right perspective. And here's what he says. He said, we're to put off personal sins. And he gives a whole list of those sins. And I read them to you a little earlier. He said, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And all of that has to do with feeding ourselves. In other words, what he says is that these are fleshly sins. We're to put those aside. We're to put those off. By the way, a lot of the problems that we have in society socially is because of this very thing. And we're to learn, the Bible says, as believers that, you know, and this is what I'm saying. If you want to know how to deal with some of the social problems we have, I'll tell you what. If Jesus Christ became the Savior in our life, those problems will go away because God can make a difference in our life. We need Jesus. Our community needs Jesus. Our society needs Jesus. And he says that we're to put off these personal sins. And the idea of putting them off is like throwing away old dirty garments. I had this rag that I used to, I guess I use it for everything. I threw it away yesterday, and I've had it for about 5 years. I felt really bad. I almost wanted to do a burial. But when I picked it up, it had more holes than it had thread. I used it for everything. You know, it's kind of one of those kind of, it absorbed right. Everything just, you know what I'm saying? Some of you say, I got clothes like that. I understand that. But what God says is there are times we just take and put those things aside. Like a dirty rag. We throw them away. We put them off. They ought not to be in our life. Because we have a new perspective. Our perspective is not how much sin can we get by with. How much sin can we do? How much can we do? Our perspective is what can we do for God? Different perspective. So we're to put off our personal sins. We're to put off our social sins. Social sins are those repulsive habits he mentions in verse 7 and verse 8. And he talks about put these off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. By the way, let me say this to you if you are a Christian tonight. Let me give you some really good advice. Do not use the word Lord or God in a sentence unless you're speaking to him or about him. I hear a lot of people, even Christians, will use the Lord's name loosely. And I'm going to tell you how powerful that is. Whenever, if you were to study that, you go to Israel and you find that the Hebrew language to them was of great importance. When a scribe would write the name Lord down, when he would write that name down, and he would write it in Hebrew, it's like the most important thing that they could ever write. Here's what they would do: they would take a bath, they would change their clothes, they would get a new pen, and they would get a new ink pad before they would dare write down that name. You think about how many times capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is in the Bible. Many, many times. Every time a scribe, when they would read that, or when they would write that, and they would put scribes in a room, and that's, they didn't have recorded, they have all this fancy stuff we have today, and they would sit in a room and they would orally speak it out, and they would write it down, and they would take a break to go do that before they would dare write down the name of Lord. And what God is saying is that even out of our mouth as believers, and I certainly hope that we don't join in with the filth of the world and how the world talks, but also let's respect God for his name and who he is. Put off those social sins. So we're to put off the old life, and then the next section he talks about is, if you would, put on the new man. Put on the new man. Look at verses 10 and 11 with me, please. And he said, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What do we mean by the new man? Who is this new man we're talking about? This is the new life that comes when we begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. The word has the idea of new in the respect to quality, to freshness. The best way to describe this new relationship is like when I met the wife that I've been married to for 36 years, when I met her. A strange thing happened to me. I couldn't explain it up to that point. I had no idea. But something unusual happened. Even Solomon writes about it in Proverbs. The way of a man with a maid. There's something unusual about that. When I met my wife and we began to date, everything in my whole life began to change. I didn't look at roses the same way as before. I didn't see poetry the same way as before. I didn't look at the sunset the same way as I did before. I didn't look at the beach the same way as I did before, the ocean. In other words, what I'm saying is, everything took on a whole different meaning in my life because of that relationship to my wife, who would be my wife eventually. I mean, I used to write her poetry and send it to her. I wouldn't dare let you read it. Some of you are like, really? Don't ask her. I don't know what it was, but weird things took place in my life. How many of you can relate to what I'm talking about? How many of you can connect with it? You know what I'm saying? When you meet someone and you allow them into your life, you empower them to be able to have a relationship with you that permits them to affect your desires and affect how you see things in life. That's just the way it is. And what God is saying is, that's what I mean by the new man. The new man is this relationship that began the moment you received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now everything changed. For me, I didn't see things the same way anymore. And neither should any of us see the same way. Our life has changed. And here's what God is saying is, now, here's the thing. We have this new man that we're to put on. I'm supposed to be man. Sorry, I'll get to that in a minute. This new man we're putting on, this absolute new relationship that we put on, it's important that we realize that it's not just the fact that it happened in the past, although that's true, it did, but it has lasting effects on us. So we must develop this new man. That's what Paul's writing about there in that verse. Here's what he says. He says, look at verse 10 again with me, please. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image that created him. This means that for you and I, there has to be a constant renewal in my life of the new man. What does that mean? That means my mind has to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the problem is we are really on information overload. How many of you agree with that? Would you agree with me on that? I mean, you can't hardly go anywhere without being on information overload. I mean, it's either you have your phone that basically sends you emails, text, phone calls. I mean, you know, a phone is no longer a phone anymore. It's a computer you carry around. It's got everything in it. And if that's not enough, you know, all you have to do is you go to the store. Let's say you stop by the gas station. While you're there at the gas station and you're just trying to put gas in the car, there's an advertisement on the gas pump trying to get you to buy whatever it is they're trying to get you to buy. And it might even be in a video format. Then you get to the store and there's all this stuff everywhere. And then there's videos that are saying all these things. And then you get out of the store and you drive home. As you drive by, there are billboards all over the place. And in other words, what I'm saying is, we're on information overload. And here's what God says. We have to make a choice on what we put into this mind of ours. And if we're going to renew our mind, that means that I need to spend time with the God that renews my mind every day. I have to allow Him to work in my life. And you know what happens when that occurs? A strange thing begins to take place. As I begin to have that relationship with God, God forms me into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, when these things begin to work in my life, and I begin to say, God, I want a perspective on my Christian life. I want a perspective on what You want to do through me. Lord, I want to be able to see what You want in my life, how You want to work through my life. And Lord, when that occurs, my goal would be at the end that I've renewed my relationship with You that I might bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three perspectives that God gives you and me on how to have a new outlook on what God wants each of us to be. I hope you know Him tonight. I hope you know Him, first of all, as your personal Savior. And if you don't, you can know Him. He makes it possible for you to know Him tonight. And second of all, if you know Him as your personal Savior, how much are you allowing Him to renew your mind into His image? God says He wants to do that. But that takes a decisive choice. Notice, set your affections on things above. Choose to do that. It's a decisive choice that we make. Heavenly Father.